There is a player on the Toronto Blue Jays whose name is Jose Bautista, who became infamous last year in the playoffs, in the baseball playoffs, when he was playing against the Texas Rangers and hit a towering home run, really to win the game. It ended up winning the game to put his team up and eventually win against the Rangers. It wasn't just that he hit the home run. That after he hit the home run, before it even cleared the fence, he took the bat, flipped it up in the air, and then strutted a little bit, right, and basically showed off over hitting the home run against everybody else. So screamed out loud, I think, a little bit. But it's a famous play. It was like a big scream and bat flip, and it was like literally all the way up in the air. I'm surprised it didn't kill anybody. But it was that. Now, the Rangers didn't take that very nicely, as you probably wouldn't. It's not just about sore losers. It kind of is showboating as much as you possibly could. And the old-timers all got out their record players and their dial phones and everything and went crazy over the integrity of the game and how could a person do this? How can a baseball player get involved? Showboating has nothing to do with the game of baseball. I mean, come on. It's a serious sport. It's a man's sport, not a showboating sport. That's clear. That's clear as anything. Even if anybody knows back in the day, Goose Gossage got into the fray ranting and raving over how the baseball players today don't know how good it is for them and that I did everything for them and everything that. The biggest showboater of all time than his team, Reggie Jackson. There's no question about that whatsoever. But regardless, right, they all got into the fray and they went crazy over what happened. So nonetheless, this became a big story because the Blue Jays played the Rangers again this year. And in the last game where they were in Texas, the last at-bat that Jose Bautista was going to bat in the game, the Rangers purposely threw at him. It was a 96-mile-an-hour fastball that hit him right in the chest, in the ribs. It was clear. There was no question that was, you flip your bat, we're going to throw a ball at you. Okay? That's the way it is. This is what we call retaliation. And I think he got it. He understood it. Okay, I read in the article, I didn't get to see this, right, that he just walked calmly to first base knowing that he got hit, but he knew why he got hit. He got hit because of that. So the next player that was up hit a ground ball, and it looked like it was going to be a double play ball. So Jose Bautista slid into second base the way you might have when you were in Little League and you didn't really know how to slide. You know, not spikes up to kill the guy, but nonetheless enough that you would sort of take the second baseman out. So that's what he did. And again, retaliation. You're going to throw at me, and I'm on first base. Well, you better believe that I'm going to take it right back at you. Right? So what happened with the second baseman? The second baseman didn't take too kindly to this. He threw the ball to first base, but it didn't even hit first. I don't know what happened with the ball. I have no clue. I think everything in the world stopped at that moment when it came to the stadium. And the Rangers' second baseman, I don't know what his name is, he's a nobody, went up to Mr. Bautista, if we can call him a mister, right, and goes up to him, and like gets right in his face. So they start jawing at each other, and then the second baseman gives him an unbelievable uppercut, right into the face. It was like a boxing hit. It was a nice hit. It was a really, really nice hit. That I saw a picture of. That was amazing. If you see the picture pause right at the perfect moment, you see the whole face like going like that, like move in a little bit. It was a nice punch. You don't see punches like that. I mean, I don't. I don't. Maybe you guys, you know, see it every day. I have no idea. And it was a great punch. The side cleared. Someone started karate chopping people in the middle. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It was very, very impressive. And you know it's not going to end there. Because they got to retaliate for the retaliation for the retaliation. You know that's what's going to happen now. So the next time they play, you know there's going to be 150,000 reporters like, I wonder what they're going to do now. They're going to take out a gun and start shooting everybody. Right? You know that's what's going to, that's the next line, that's that. On the other hand, on the other side of the spectrum, and this story bothered me so much. I was thinking about speaking about it a month ago. That's how much it bothered me. I wasn't going to speak about it in the Musa show. I was going to speak about it somewhere else. And I was like, I couldn't believe what was going on. I was already at the time going crazy. There's no way this happened. No way. But this is what happened. It was one of the weirdest stories I'd ever seen. There was a pastor who is openly gay, who claimed that when he picked up a cake from Whole Foods, that there was a slur on it, a gay slur on the cake. that the cake was a regular cake that said happy birthday on it, and that somebody had written the three-letter F word used to describe gay people 10 years ago and was not a problem, but now is a big problem, right? Three-letter word on the cake itself. Happy birthday, and right there, put it on there. And you don't understand, this guy became emotionally distressed. He went on national television, got a bunch of lawyers standing behind him, was crying over the distress that he had been under, right? And they said he couldn't believe that somebody at Whole Foods would write that on his cake, would actually put that type of epithet on top of a cake. How could it be that that's going to happen? You brought up all these things. The first time he said, for me it was humiliating because being a pastor who is also openly gay, I had to deal with this in the past, and literally the feeling that I had just resurfaced a bunch of painful memories of things that have happened to me. That's what he claimed. And all I was doing, I'm sitting there looking at this article and I'm saying, has anybody here ever bought a Jewel cake before? Or a Mariano's cake? Or anything like that? You know they're clear plastic tops on top, right? How did he not see this until he got home 25 minutes later? How in the world, when he bought it, did he not notice? Who here doesn't buy a cake with words on it and not check it to make sure that they didn't spell birthday wrong? Which happens all the time. How would you not check it? So me, being the unbelievable pessimist that I am, looked at this whole situation and said, there's no way this guy is telling the truth. There's no way, absolutely no way he's telling the truth. And Whole Foods held like me. They popped him like me. They checked out all their security cameras. They looked at what this guy was doing, seeing that this guy had looked down. They had a video camera showing that he looked down at the cake when he was by the counter, which is amazing that they had a camera that was that clear. Our cameras don't even work, but theirs, right? So clear, he was able to look down at it. They saw. So Whole Foods, the next day, one day, they came out with a countersuit suing the guy for defamation for saying that one of their workers had done such a thing. Right? So suing, countersuing against that guy itself. So that suit starts this Thursday, which makes it not a coincidence that the guy got up yesterday and told everybody, I'm sorry, the whole thing is a hoax. I put the words on myself. The happy birthday was on there. I wrote it myself. And I'm sorry for everything is done. And then Whole Foods, they come out to be tzaddikim in this whole thing. I don't know if they are tzaddikim, but they come out. They said, now that the truth has come to light, we're dropping our charges against this pastor. And that's it. They got a ton of publicity that they probably never wanted. So here's the line that this pastor used to describe what had happened afterward. He said, the company did nothing wrong. I was wrong to pursue this matter and use the media to perpetuate this story. I want to apologize to Whole Foods and its team members for questioning the company's commitments to its values, and especially the baker associate who I understand was put in a terrible position because of my actions. I apologize to the whole community for diverting attention from real issues. I also want to apologize to my partner, my family, my church family, and my attorney. Well, scrap, big guy. That just ain't doing it for me. Maybe you're part of a religion where you can just talk to somebody on the other side and they're okay with it and everything's all done. But that is absolutely ridiculous. Unbelievably ridiculous. For many reasons. Now, what I really wanted to think about beyond all this, and which is going to take us to a different line, is what is the level of nekama here? I understand this concept of retaliation in baseball. I get it. Whether it's us or not is a totally different issue. Jose Bautista and this random second baseman guy are both not Jewish, to the best of my knowledge. I'm not worried about the issue of lo cecum velo cetor when it comes to throwing at a guy a little bit later when the guy does something to you. I'm not getting into that. That's something else entirely. And I sort of get the concept of, you do something to me, I'm going to get right back at you. We know that's usur. We know that's terrible midos. We understand understand why the Torah would say lo sikam velo sitor. But let's look at the situation. There is a din that for somebody who has no das, asur l'rachem elov. You cannot have mercy on somebody who has no sense of, or sensibility of how things work. And if a person has no das, no ability to think his way through or realize what he's doing, that person should be and is punished severely. The Gemara even says that it's mutter l'horgo. It's mutter l'nokro kedov, that you can split him up like a fish, destroy a person that doesn't have das. According to the Gemara of Sakam and Mentes. It's an unbelievable line from the Gemara itself. But without a question, the line of Asur l'rachem elov definitely would apply. A person who does this, who's literally not thinking of anyone but himself, trying to get a person fired from his position for doing absolutely nothing, for getting a whole company, who knows what could have been, if this could have been, if this would have gone more public, if he wouldn't have been so much of a fool about it, what could have been? To knock down an entire company, to cause them to be blacklisted in some way, why wouldn't you take revenge? Why can't you take revenge against a person that has no doubts? Lo sikam velo sitor is up until a point, but the way the Medrash puts it right afterward is that for a talmid chacham, mutter linkom. It's mutter to take nikama against a person who does something against him. And in that sense, every single one of us has to think to ourselves, yes, there are issues that come up in which stepping back and saying to ourselves, I'm not going to get involved, is the right thing to do and probably the halachic thing to do. And there are situations where you go for the throat, so to speak. You sit there and you say, I can't allow my kavod Torah, the one that every single person here has, to be knocked down when somebody does something like that. Some people will not hear of this retraction of the original story, but they all heard about the original story. There's something that goes into even nekama, where nekama becomes a use, something that you can use in this world for something good. And that's the idea of what you can bring about in this. I don't know what Whole Foods should do. They're not tzaddikim. I don't know if they're Rishayim, but they're not tzaddikim in any which way. And what you would do in such a thing. But think about this. Should they drop their suit? Should they go ahead? This is pure. They sued him for libel. And he committed libel. Without any basis. With nothing else behind it. What can you do in such a situation? But then it goes even further than that. I think it takes it way further than that. Just consider this for a second. How can a person mess up that badly? How did he think he was going to get away with it? What was he thinking? I just want you to consider. He went home. This is the thought process. He bought a cake from Whole Foods that said happy birthday on it. He went home, took blue frosting that would match the blue frosting that they would use, wrote something that's hateful about himself, reclosed the thing. This is not like you did it by accident. You have to have premeditated thoughts to be able to get into this. You have to sit there and you have to undo the tape just enough so that it looks like you never really opened it. You have to open it, you have to put on those words, and then put it back on, and then reclose it, reseal it, so that everybody will think that you didn't open it, because otherwise it's obvious that you just opened it up and you put it on there, right? That is unreal. Unreal. How did the person do that? And Imamish thought he was going to get away with it? How did you think you were going to get away with this? So it boggles the mind. I know people that have done dumb things before, but this is up there in my top five dumbest things I've ever heard. I've never heard anything like this. How do you do something like this? How do you get around? And I learned an unbelievable lesson, I think, from this Maaseh. I think I have it. I think I have it, and I'm so bothered by it because I can't believe this can be true. But it is. It seems like it is. The 10 minutes of fame that this guy got for the original idea of what had happened in the first place was worth it, even though in the end of the day, he was going to have a life of Gehenna once it gets found out. He knew it would be found out. But my 10 minutes of fame of right now is worth it. It's worth it. I can't understand that. I can't understand. All the negatives. I would assume he's going to lose his job. I would assume that people are now going to know him. I'm assuming that his name is now going to be synonymous with making a really, really dumb error. I'm assuming that people are going to use him as an example of things not to do ever. This is going to make all the top 10 lists of whatever the silliest ideas that anybody could come up with, or worst crimes of 2016. This guy's going to head the list. And it's worth it. Because for 10 minutes, he is on top of the world. He is the number one guy. He's on TV shows. He's on radio shows. He is the number one guy. So it's worth it. Why not do it at the end of the day? And then I sat there thinking to myself, listen, I know it's a little bit different, but isn't that what every single one of us do when we get involved with another era? We do something, and we know the repercussions, and we know that at the end of the day it causes Gehenna, and we know at the end of the day what it's going to mean for us, but we do it anyway. It's not like any of us have any cautions about what we're doing and thinking, oh, maybe we'll get away with it this time. There's no way. We know what the results are, and we do it anyway, because that 10 minutes of Hana, or whatever it is that we get for doing the Avera, is worth the century, the millennium of Gehenna that we'll get for it. And that's ridiculous. We are ridiculous. Why would we do this? That's the lesson that I got. I imagine that someone is going to come up to this guy and ask him for his side of the story. I imagine that someone's going to go up to him and say, explain why you did this. And I'm sure he's going to be very remorseful, and he's going to blame his mother in some way. And at the end of the day, he's going to cry, and people are going to feel sorry for him, but they're not going to forgive him for what he did exactly. They'll forgive him a little bit later. I assume that that's what's going to be. But at the end of the day, something else is going to happen. We don't get that chance. We don't get that chance. By any avera, by anything that we do, there's nothing there. So in a sense, Whole Foods taking back their counter suit is HaKadosh Baruch Hu deciding not to punish us worse than we've already been punished. Sometimes that guilt feeling that we have, that feeling of repulsiveness in ourselves for doing what we just did, is enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls back and says, that's the Yisurin that I wanted this guy to get. It doesn't forgive. There's still something there, and for the rest of our lives, we're known as the guy that did X. But that's the idea behind it. See how I've gone from calling Whole Foods from a Russia to possibly a tzaddik to a Kaddish Baruch Hu? This is not for them, and I'm not getting paid by them. But nonetheless, the concept is at least there. I just find it so unbelievable. There's so many things here, so repulsive. The fact that he manipulated the world, so to speak, or at least the news stories, the people to be able to feel like something's there. The person who decorated the cake could have been fired. And this guy did not think about that person whatsoever. Did not consider him in any which way. That person does not matter to me. It happened to me, by the way. And the person who decorated the cake also happened to be a member of that community. Also happened to be that way. That was part of the reason why Whole Foods was ready to sue, because they said, they realized who wrote it and said, that person wouldn't do it. So who's going to do it? Who's going to write it down? But it's unbelievable. Lawyers wasted hours of time. Hours of time. Hours of time going through. It's not so bad. Newspaper, media members, me. I wasted my time. I read that article. That took 27 seconds. 27 seconds. Now granted, at the end of the day, those 27 seconds I'm probably gaining by giving a 20-minute schmooze on it. I give you that. That at the end of the day. But nonetheless, does anybody realize we're dealing with a pastor? This is a leader of men. A church leader. A person who's supposed to represent his people. A person who's supposed to lead. And this is not a destruction of, oh, see what all pastors are like? No, Chas v'Shalom. I'm sure 99% of them are good people who really mean the best and are trying their hardest to make their congregants, their constituents, better people. But this, what is this person doing? This person, to me, is literally more repulsive than a bug. And I keep thinking to myself, is that the way that I look like in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu when I do something that's wrong? That again, I know is absolutely terrible. I affect people by doing certain actions that I know I shouldn't do. And if I'm doing that and I'm affecting people and I'm a leader of men, so to speak, right? I guess it depends on your definition of men. So, man, depends on how many people are here, and you're sitting there, what about me? Why wouldn't I be in the same category? So, pastor, rabbi, right? Leader of people in a certain way. And everybody here is also a leader of people in a certain way. So every time that Avera comes to light, why wouldn't it be the same way? So I sat there, and when I was reading this article, and I sat there with my ha feeling, I knew I was right feeling. I knew it. I knew this guy had lied about it before. I sat there, and all of a sudden, I got a wave of sadness. A wave of sadness. The wave of, but this is me. This is me. And the same way that he did something which was disgusting and repulsive and knew the consequences of his actions and yet did it anyway for his 10 minutes of fame and was willing to go ahead through it, knew he wasn't going to go through, I'm sitting there and I do the exact same thing when I do an avera that affects other people. And I feel no less disgust for me than I do for that person. How could I have allowed that to happen? And a Kadosh Baruch Hu has rachman. But if you have no das, also l'rachim alav. Also l'rachim alav. This is the feeling that we should start to have. Listen, it's not like you're never going to sin for the rest of your lives. We know that. We understand that. That's an obvious idea. But nonetheless, to have the feeling of, you know what the consequences are. You know what you're doing. To think your way beforehand, is there anything that you can get yourself around to move yourself around to not let that happen? This is the paradigm shift that we should have in our lives, of how we should switch things up. I don't know if this is the full lesson that one can learn from this, but I am absolutely thankful that the nekama that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does is so much less than what should be for what we all deserve, for everything we've done. Consider this idea. Consider this idea and start looking at the world in a different way, in the sense that when people do something wrong, it's not just them. It's us. And why are they any worse than we are in certain ways? And can we become better? To stop allowing our Yetzer Hara to manipulate us to do certain things that we know we should not do. Maybe then we can learn something from this. Maybe then we can have a kapara for things that we do that we know we shouldn't. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. But then we don't have to worry about that punch in the face. That final punch in the face that'll come. Maybe then it'll be a little bit easier. There'll be a holdback. Right? We'll realize. We'll stop ourselves. That's the concept that maybe we can learn from this story.